Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
On our side, from previously from Naval Intelligence, some harrowing scenarios as well. Now, before I get to all of this, I do want to, again, thank you for your support and trust in this platform. I also want to thank those people, those entities, those companies, the people who sponsored this show. Yes, sir. Where was it muted at? All right. So, should you want me to start over? All right. Yeah. Welcome. so you saw my lips move, but you didn't hear me. All right. Well, I cannot begin to thank you, the listeners and viewers, for your support and your trust in this broadcast. See, we're new at this, at least this rendition of the Hagman Report. It seems like we shouldn't be, because we've been doing this for a long time, but you know, the live platform's got a lot of things, a lot of moving parts to it. It is Friday, October 25th, 2024. Again, welcome. And I want to thank the people who sponsor us, and Eric the Tech, thank you for all of your hard work. I'm surprised you can even see straight after the past 10 days. Now, before I get to the program,
I can't see straight.
I'm telling you, you know, folks, real quick, he had me going through some cable things, plug this cable here and that, and I'm getting frustrated. I'm thinking, I don't even know how he does this. I mean, all of these cables, you know,
and can't even unmute your microphone.
But then that's a good thing. I'm glad you did that, because I was beginning to worry.
It was a bad start, right? You had a bad start. That's all.
It was.
I just wanted to give you a second start.
I'm going to take the hit on this, because I was just out of control when I started. All right. Let's hit the restart button. You can trust us, believe me. And very transparent, too, with respect to what's going on. No, we don't put on any ears, obviously. No, that's not deception. I had an actual itch on my nose. Before we get started, I want to bring up again, you know, I've talked about this, Chuck Norris, legendary. I saw a video he made. I was shocked. He's in his 80s. He's still just kicking butt, taking names. He's stronger today. He can work out longer. And, of course, he's got plenty of energy left over for his grandkids. ChuckDefense.com/Hagman. Two ends on Hagman. If you haven't tried this, guys especially, okay? Now, if you haven't tried this, man, you got to try this. I'm just saying, because I notice a change. You know, it's difficult to say what change, you know, what causes certain changes, but this, in my view, has, I think I can attribute some very positive changes to this. But anyway, Chuck Norris got that way by making one change. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this one thing too. She never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger. Her body looks leaner. And of course, she has energy all day. Now, Chuck made a special video that explains everything. Make sure you watch it by going to chuckdefense.com/Hagman or clicking on the link below this video. It's going to change the way you think about your health. Once again, that's chuckdefense.com/Hagman. Two ends on Hagman. Click on the link in the description box and watch the video now. You won't believe how simple this is. And don't forget, he's a whopping 84, okay? And he's got more energy than me. He discovered he can create dramatic changes to his health simply by focusing on three things that sabotage our body as we age. So watch that video. That is chuckdefense.com/Hagman. All right. And again, thanks to them for helping us pay the bills. We appreciate that. So I've got a number of things, like I said, that you didn't hear, but I'll tell you. When I left off midweek, I referenced some potential scenarios, and I gamed this out with the assistance of a lawyer from the Trump team, as well as at the periphery. Okay, it's not like I've got any great, you know, internal stuff Or, you know, I've got like secret, super secret decoder ring stuff. Okay. It's just, it was a conversation with someone who knows what's going on. And there are certain things that are taking place right now that are not happening by accident. And it concerned me. It very much concerned me, because what is in play, and I think Alex Jones and I think others have covered this pretty well, maybe not to the extent that it really, I mean, now in Alex's defense, he covers a lot of stuff, but this, I want to dig into this a little bit deeper, because really what happens in the next 14 days, could determine very well, what the history of the, or what the future of the nation is going to be. And I was, right before the show started, I really wanted to think about what would best set the tone of the show. And I guess what I will say to that is, let's start with the video one. I'm going to go down the list here. I don't know whether you saw Russell Brand's, he did a very short video, or he did a video, and this is a very short part of the, a very small segment of the video. Russell Brand predicts that martial law is coming. And again, this is one cog in, or one spoke in the wheel. And if you look at the wheel as the future and the spokes as potentialities, this is one of those potential things that you should really take into consideration. So let's play this brief clip from Russell Brand. This is cut one.
The election will be close run. There will be talk of election fraud. There will be public disturbances. There will be martial law. Which party and which president do you imagine that that is more likely to take place under? Because what we're experiencing now are tectonic shifts, not just national shifts, epochal shifts. We're coming to the end of a period of time. The nation itself could be under threat. It is under threat. That's what globalism is. That's why around the world you're seeing nation first politics in India, France, United Kingdom, America. Even in Canada, you will start to see movements that are like, we want to put Canada first, we want to put France first, we want to put Italy first. It will happen everywhere because it's in opposition to globalism. Now, what globalism about is about accruing and coalescing magnificent authority, the authority that previously would only have been given to, because how do you oppose it, God. And once you have God-like authority, you'll start imposing God-like rules. And if you have a population that don't believe in God, it'll be all the easier, because people won't have any fuel to oppose this level of corruption, hypocrisy, and authoritarianism.
So that's his statement, what he believes is going to be taking place, martial law. And again, that's just one aspect of the larger picture. Now, that to me is dependent, obviously, on the election. So here's, I'll just kind of lay this out as best I can and as coherently as I can. And people in the chat, thank you so much. If you do have a question, I'll try to I'll try to answer it as I am looking at it right here. So this is, well, let me lay this out in such a way. Right now, the left, and again, this comes from the compilation of sources, primarily, of course, the attorney, who I'm not going to mention, very close to the working with the Trump campaign, and has access to people who know what's going on. They've got access to the internal poll numbers. They've got access to a lot of intelligence. Don't forget, former presidents do receive information. Others do not. Threat assessments. And there is a lot of concern in a number of areas. Number one, a continuing concern about the threats to President Trump. And the problem with this is President Trump is facing enemies, not just outside of the U.S. And as many people will say, well, Iran, for example, they're using Iran as a threat, as a cover for like the CIA or an internal intelligence operation. That's true. But that doesn't take away the threat from outside entities, especially Iran. Again, it's kind of there's a two-part thing to this. Yes, there is a threat from Iran, but that threat allows the intelligence community to create a situation that they could harm, or worse, President Trump, take him out of the race, and accomplish two objectives: blame it on Iran, and of course, start a war with Iran, which they're itching to do. You've got the generals, the very same generals who benefit from war, such as John Kelly, Mark Milley, Esper, and Mattis. They all hate Donald Trump, but they all love war. As a matter of fact, Mark Milley just got a job with J.P. Morgan, who teamed up with BlackRock, and together there's a $15 billion reconstruction investment out there. So the money is flowing. And again, it's complex when you start following the money. Okay. So, and again, I was thinking about this. I wanted to lead off with Russell Brand to get that out of the way, but understand, martial law and the DOD directive, which we'll get into in a little bit deeper, because some people are not clear on this based on emails I've gotten. And I've also discussed that with this source. But this week, I think it was Wednesday maybe, Dan Bongino had, he was discussing about Kamala's plan for election night. And it's not good. That's the title of episode 2357. And that was on October 24th. I got that was yesterday. Okay. Kamala has a plan for election night, and it's not good. Now, I do believe the person I'm talking to is also talking to the people he's talking to, Bongino's talking to. So there is some level of coordination there to get the word out and to watch what happens. And this also involves each and every one of you in the chat, too. This also involves the threat or the labeling as a threat, Republican poll watchers. I don't know how many people have seen this. They're starting to make noise right now, the left is, about the presence of Republican poll watchers, of which I will be one, and poll challengers. They're saying that we present, and I'm not kidding about this, that we present a threat to the election process. You know they're worried. You know that they don't want to relinquish power. But let's get back to Dan Bongino. And this is video 2. If you go to HagmanPI.com, and I ask everyone out there to do this as well, just please bookmark HagmanPI.com. And when you go there, to the right, there is the section for the videos. Click on that and the entire page of videos. And interspersed within the front page are videos and articles. More are coming, by the way. So that's why I directed you to the right, where you can see, you know, watch or the top menu. You can find, it's very, very easy to find the videos. But when you do get there, click on the title, and it gives you all of the links to the citation or the sources we use in this particular episode. So day by day, you've got all the links we use right there at your fingertips. Okay, so this is cut A from Dan Bongino yesterday. And I'd like you to listen to this, because basically he said, look, I've got some good news and bad news. In my book, it's like bad news and the lesser of the bad news. But there are four cuts that I took out of this that I'll play sequentially. So please listen to what his good news / bad news, if that's what you want to call it, is, but the plans for election night And I think this will speak volumes to what is taking place right now for over the next 10 days through the date of election and then between election and the inauguration. Man, he can explain it better than I can. This is Kade.
Check this out.
What do you expect on election day? To get the results on the same night, maybe 2 days later, a week later? What are your expectations?
Well, I hope to get the results that night, but that may or may not happen. And last time it took more than obviously one night.
Folks, she is not saying this by accident, ladies and gentlemen. Fascists, socialists, and tyrants never slip up. Sometimes they say the quiet part out loud, but everything they say on purpose. They may wish they can change the wording, but the fact that they said it is not an accident. They are planting the seed right here. The media floats trial balloons for them, and they want to see with these trial balloons what kind of feedback they're going to get back from their own side. If their own side would do the right thing and say, hey, listen, we just criticized Republicans for being election deniers. We're going to look like hypocrites, even though we had a legitimate case. If we just fabricate a case that the election was stolen, do you think they care? The answer is no. Double barrel middle finger to you. They don't care. Here's the media trial balloon. Receipts incoming yet again. Kamala says it. Oh, look, all of a sudden in Axios this morning, a communist Politico playbook knockoff, right? Do you think this is an accident that the exact same message is in Axios this morning? I'm sure it's just a little bit of an accidente. It is not. Axios AM, post-election zen. They note it's likely the election winner won't be known the night of November 5th. Oh, really? How do they know that? Because I'm telling you right now, if these polls are even close to accurate, oh, we'll know the night of November 5th. They note it may not even be clear the morning after or the day after. Here, look at this. But that doesn't mean the eventual results were rigged, manipulated, or wrong. Van der Heij and Allen writing behind the curtain column. You see what they're getting at here? They're getting at that. Leave this up. I want to read the rest of it. This is super important. They're getting at if Kamala Harris challenges this thing and says, hey, listen, there are still votes outstanding. And Republicans go, hey, man, this is you're trying to rig this thing. You're saying, you know, there are votes outstanding. There's only 25 outstanding votes, 25,000. She's down by 100,000. It doesn't matter what's outstanding. You see what they're doing? No, no, no. Every vote's got to be counted. They know why it matters. Sluggish vote counts could fuel distrust in the election, spark protests, and paralyze governance. Both parties are preparing to challenge the ballots. You talk about raising the possibility of prolonged court fights. Yes, that is absolutely going to happen. Is there more to that? I think I could put in one more sentence on that. Oh, no, it wasn't. That's all right. Folks, they are going to litigate this thing to death. I'm telling you, if she loses 49 states, they are preparing right now to steal this thing. Now, I got the bad news out of the way. The good news is this. I don't even know if I should say the good news because I don't want to. This is an unlikely outcome, but I'd be remiss if I didn't put it out there. Folks, the media dislikes Kamala Harris so much. They do. They piled on her when she was vice president. It's not because they love her left-wing ideology. They just think she's a terrible candidate. They don't like her the way we don't like Mitt Romney. I mean, we're conservatives. Just because Mitt Romney ran as a Republican doesn't mean we like him, correct?
Okay. A lot was said right there. Now, the information I got during a couple of conversations with my source told me, number one, the difference between now and 2016, even 2020, is the Trump campaign is prepared to fight. And I mean fight with respect, legally fight. They've got attorneys everywhere ready to take the case, to litigate the case immediately. The problem, as you folks know, and as I do, of course, are the judges that will refuse to even hear the case based on standing or whatever the case might be. That's their concern. This is, I'm telling you what I was told, okay? And it sounds right. Chihuahua, by the way, in the chat, and Kenny Buzz. Yeah, I do remember. I'm old enough to remember when elections were counted, were tabulated, and the results were on the same day prior to machines. But I digress. But they internally are looking at polls, and I suppose I could share this, that they paid for, that are showing not the 48% to 48% you see on the evening news, but a much greater popular vote, meaning a greater electoral vote. And it's showing already in the early polling results. And to me, the only polls that I really put any stock in would be the exit polling. But beyond that, you know, like, I don't know. Even the Poly Market thing where, you know, you can bet on the decisive or bet on the winner seems decisive in favor of President Trump. But they're not going to let power go that easy. Remember, you've got a number of things at play here with RFK now into this. You've got the CIA documents, the redacted and withheld CIA documents about the JFK assassination that would implicate the CIA involved, that could very well, and I believe likely will be released. You've got the Epstein client list, which I believe will be released. It's going to be released. And I also believe, and again, this is what I was told, and I didn't have many questions I could ask, because wow, do you ask questions about something like this? But the Justice Department, the current Justice Department, as well as the Justice Department prior, including people like Comey and even to a lesser extent Bill Barr, they could very well face legal trouble. That's why Comey, if you had happened to see him say, you know, maybe I'm thinking about getting out of the country. Yeah, you should. And it's going to depend upon who Donald Trump puts in the AG's slot. Now, there's been talk about Kash Patel. I don't know if that would happen, but certainly I know he's open to it. I suspect he's open to it based on what I heard. I have not spoken to him directly, but now somebody like that who wrote the book Government Gangsters, I do believe would go after the people that need to be investigated. Now, here's the second part of this. Oh, and the other part, let's not forget history. When Pelosi and Schumer twisted or gave the ultimatum to Biden and Joe Biden, through Obama or from Obama to Pelosi and Schumer and some other people in there too, saying, look, you've got to step down or we're going to, you know, 25th you, basically. He stepped down reluctantly. And I have to say, I can verify from this one source that Jill Biden was beyond pissed. I mean, of all the people in that whole circle, she was, he used a word, essentially out of control. I mean, beyond upset, that was a weaponized Joe Biden at that point. And the hatred between now the Bidens and the Obamas, and even the hatred by Joe Biden against Pelosi and Schumer and all of the people who had taken part in this palace coup and this palace intrigue, man, there's a lot of heat there. Okay, just keep that in mind. So the first cut with Bongino, he said, look, you know, the result, figure this, the results will not be made known necessarily on election night. Now, that the only way to overcome that, of course, is to make it too obvious, too big. And with so counties like Maricopa County in Arizona, well, you know, does it really matter? If all the counts not in because it's so obvious, the electoral sweep, could that be a position? Because the polls are lying. I mean, it's not 48-48, like I said. The polls are lying. But keep what he said in mind as you listen to this next clip. This is a couple minutes later in that same broadcast. And this is Cut B from video 2 at HagmanPI.com. Here it is.
The campaign is a total train wreck. They cannot answer a single question about what Kamala Harris actually stands for. I'm going to give you the... I usually do this in reverse. Kamala Harris did a CNN town hall last night. An abomination to humankind. Probably cost her a point nationally in the polls. I think it's going to... It was so bad that even the lefties on CNN where it was hosted, were like, this is bad news. I'm going to play David Axelrod on this in a minute. The reason I'm playing Axelrod is, imagine when Axelrod talks. I know this from experience. This is Obama talking. This is Obama's puppet master. If Obama had a puppet master, it's this guy. He listens to this guy like no one else. When Axelrod talks, he doesn't say anything without Obama and them speaking, you know, with the Borg with a hive mind. Okay, here's Axelrod on Kamala Harris's performance last night on the town hall. She was supposed to pitch herself to America last night, and she just reaffirmed the pre-existing political narrative that she has no idea what she's talking about and speaks in word salad. Check this out.
When she doesn't want to answer a question, her habit is to kind of go to word salad city, and she did that on a couple of answers. One was on Israel. Anderson asked a direct question, would you be stronger on Israel than Trump? And there was a 7-minute answer, but none of it related to the question he was asking.
Folks, she's trying to rescue her campaign, but the problem is she doesn't have the toolkit to do it.
So, again, from what I heard, and I put a lot of stock into this person because, frankly, he's close enough to know what he's talking about, and he's got the ear to the ground in the campaign arena, so he knows what's going on, and he's been hearing this, and we've been hearing this. I don't think that this is really any kind of secret information, but the Harris campaign is in disarray. The people around her don't like her. In fact, they disdain her. You've got the media covering for her. You know that she is a plagiarist. In fact, her plagiarism eclipses that of Joe Biden back in 1988. And by the way, Red River Patriot, thank you so much. Paxson would be a great AG too. There are a couple of names that were bandied about, but Paxson from Texas, absolutely. But the campaign is in disarray. She is not. Harris, and you can tell this, is perhaps the epitome of a DEI hire. They know, folks, they know they screwed up when they took Biden out and elevated Harris. I mean, even Pelosi knows this. And they're running around like trapped rats, which makes them dangerous. Which also goes into the second part of the information I have, which is perhaps even more important or equally important given the outlook of what's going to happen in the next 10 days. And you know what? I really hope I can look back on this broadcast and apologize to you for, hey, look, you know, I'm sorry. This is the information we had. That assumes everything goes smoothly on election day. I don't think so. I really don't. Again, based on a number of factors, including going back into the Pizzagate era. And I'll explain that too. But that's tied with Epstein, and that's tied with Combs, the P. Diddy Combs stuff. But the freaking, the freaky parties, sex parties, and all of this stuff, this perversion, that's taking place within Washington and elsewhere, Hollywood, and really throughout the country is hard to describe. Okay, moving on in this, again, I told you I had four cuts to Dan Bongino's broadcast. This is cut C. This is only a couple of minutes long again, but equally important to what he just said. Again, remember, the likability factor within the campaign and within Washington of Kamala Harris is pretty low, but it's starting to increase or decrease. I don't know how you would describe if you dislike someone and that dislike grows. What is that? Increase dislike, decreasing like, whatever. But it's getting worse. How's that? So this is cut C in addition to what I just said. This is cut C from the same broadcast.
It's about a minute and 52. But this answer sums up the Kamala problem. She cannot save herself. She doesn't know anything. When she doesn't know anything, she engages in word salads, like Axelrod said. They never leave anywhere, and she never answers a question. And that's why people are moving away from her in droves. Watch this disaster.
Under Donald Trump, you criticized the wall more than 50 times. You called it stupid, useless, and a medieval vanity project. Is a border wall stupid?
Well, let's talk about Donald Trump and that border wall. So remember, Donald Trump said Mexico would pay for it? Come on, they didn't. How much of that wall did he build? I think the last number I saw is about 2%. And then when it came time for him to do a photo op, you know where he did it? In the part of the wall that President Obama built.
But you're agreeing to a bill that would earmark $650 million to continue building that wall.
I pledge that I am going to bring forward that bipartisan bill to further strengthen and secure our border. Yes, I am. But, and I'm going to work across the aisle to pass a comprehensive bill that deals with a broken immigration system. I think Jackson's question, part of it was to acknowledge that America has always had migration, but there needs to be a legal process for it. People have to earn it. And that's the point that I think is the most important point that can be made, which is we need a president who is grounded in common sense and practical outcomes. Like, let's just fix this thing. Let's just fix it. Why is there any ideological perspective on this? Let's just fix the problem.
To fix the problem, you're doing this compromise bill. It does call for $650 million that was earmarked under Trump to actually still go to build the wall.
I'm not afraid of good ideas where they occur.
So you don't think it's stupid anymore?
I think what he did and how he did it did not make much sense because he actually didn't do much of anything. I just talked about that wall, right? We just talked about it. He didn't actually do much of anything.
But you do want to build some wall.
I want to strengthen our border.
Yeah. Okay. She had 3.5-4 years basically to in part in participation with Biden. Well, as a border czar, she had a lot of time to build the wall, increase the security. That bipartisan bill, you and I know that bipartisan bill is nothing. It is absolutely garbage. It had money going to Ukraine, money going to the southern border to increase or help the Border Patrol to process those people they caught. So that bipartisan bill is BS. And by the way, Frog Lady 2009, you're right. And Salisbury 2 about Iran nukes. Yes, you are correct on that. That little digression there. The final clip here, it's only a minute long, I believe. Yeah, about a minute long. And this, I believe, would sum this part up. And we'll recap it at the end. This is cut D of video 2 at HagmanPI.com.
You for another 4 years, you're crazy.
Right.
Like, you're crazy. You're saying the same thing that you said 4 years ago.
So the fact that she's the vice president,
that's
to you,
the bottom line.
You're like, you've been here, you've had a chance.
Yes. Well, for me, the very first time I ever heard the name Kamala Harris, it was in association to locking up parents for a truancy. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I ever heard of her name. And I really didn't understand how this person claims to be a black woman, but yet she's locking up black women and black men and separating families.
This is a thing that is, Trump talks about this a lot. He says, you know, Kamala Harris became black
right.
when it was convenient.
Right.
Yep. Can you Can you talk to me about, do you agree with him on that? Do you feel like she's wearing her blackness?
Absolutely. She sworn into the, when she sworn to the Senate, it was as the first Indian American.
Thank you.
Which is, it's fine. We don't care. Yeah.
We all know she's not black. Let's understand that. We are all clear of that. But well, my point of view, like I told you earlier, she's already been there. She's in office right now.
That's an important excerpt from Dan Bongino's show that, and had commentary on that. I've got commentary on that as well. They're losing the Harris Walls communist campaign. They're losing black voters. They're losing Hispanic voters. I don't want to sound like a TV broadcast here. I really don't. But this is all important for public perception. And I'm not talking about the people in the chat. I'm talking about the average person out there who's just working or existing, really not caring about politics, but they are losing the support of the minorities and in large sections, geographical sections of the United States. I saw a video of a woman in Chicago just saying, I mean, just lighting up the Chicago council and the talking to the mayor and saying, you know, for what you did to us, the minority community, the black community, it is unforgivable, and therefore we have to support Trump. This is scaring, and I'm saying that this, and again, this is confirmed in my conversation, this is scaring the daylights out of the Harris campaign. But even more importantly, this is frightening the Obamas. And you notice that Bongino mentioned Axelrod, David Axelrod. He's been around forever. He's in real tight with the Clintons. He knows, and I believe literally, where the bodies are buried regarding the Clintons. And they got some things on the Clintons too coming up here. Bill Clinton as well. You might as well cut campaign ads by Bill Clinton for Donald Trump. It's not what people out in the wild, so to speak, are expecting. The left, people on the left. And make no mistake, there is a severe ideological divide. Right now, there is just an incredible divide in this country. I mean, we're talking about a fighting kind of, hey, you know, put up your dukes, we're going to fight it out kind of divide. An irreconcilable divide. Now, Natalie Winters, to add to this, there's fear on the left. There is determination on the right. There is a wide gap in between. Natalie Winters had a great opening today. I think it was this evening's War Room. What do Democrats fear most about election? It's not losing it. This is part of what I mentioned earlier about, I'm not sure if it was when I was muted or not, about poll watchers and about the right, members of the conservative MAGA party, America First Party, to be more precise. They're getting off the couch and they are participating. Like myself, I'll be a poll watcher, and I wasn't really a dick during the midterms, but I wasn't going to be pushed around either. And this particular election, I noticed a distinct difference between the Republican, the training, the provision, the providing of numbers to lawyers and such, if you see a problem, where how to handle it. So I've noticed a very big difference about how the Republican establishment, not to be confused with America First, but the Republican establishment is handling this election versus the midterms versus 2020. And I'm liking it. I have to bring this into the fold if you want to do a full analysis on what we can expect. And again, I'm working to that, what we can expect. I think logically through the steps that I'm bringing out, and hopefully it'll be clear by the end. what I think is the most likeliest of scenarios. So this is video three. What do the Republicans fear most about elections? It's not losing it. And this is Natalie from the War Room filling in for Steve Bannon, video three. Here it is.
You know what Reuters thinks is the top concern, of course, speaking as the mouthpiece for the mainstream media? Well, that U.S. election experts worry about Republican poll watchers in swing states. It's quite an interesting fear to have. They're petrified, particularly of Republican poll watchers, with the buried lead there being that the years of lawfare that they perpetrated against you guys, against MAGA, against Stephen K. Bannon, against Peter Navarro, against Donald Trump, I'm looking at you, Jack Smith, well, that was to scare you guys from wanting to work as poll watchers and election watchers. But guess what? We have a little something called patriotism on our side, so your fear-mongering attacks aren't going to work on us. And then, of course, you have The Atlantic chiming in with more election fear porn because, of course, the everyday warfare of voting in America. Election officials are under siege. That was the strap line for that article. I guess they have a new headline up now, too. Here's the thing, though, guys. If you weren't engaged, we'll use the word that President Trump uses, in skullduggery, as paid Soros operatives often are in terms of stealing the election, you wouldn't have to run cover for yourselves so much. You wouldn't have to engage in industrial-grade psyops and information warfare campaigns against the American people to make us think that we should actually trust you. Right? You sort of lost our trust when you made trust but verify something that ended up, if you engaged in the verify part of that action, you ended up in prison.
Very important point she makes, and again, this is part of the process, I believe, of demonizing every part of the right, of the conservative, of the America First movement. She's saying that the left is attacking the process. Suddenly, Americans all across the country, conservatives, are getting off the couch or getting involved. I don't want to disparage anybody, but on the right, but getting involved now, saying, okay, I'm going to go watch. And what you did back in 2020, especially, we're not going to put up with that anymore. We're not going to put up with boxes on the windows. We're not going to put up with you telling us to stand 12 feet away. We're not going to do that. And I noticed that personally in the couple hour training session for being a poll watcher. The attitude, the tone is totally different. Now, combine that with what I already said. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm just wasting your time with all of this information. But now, right now, we're fighting back. We're fighting back like the left never thought we would. So why is this to me so important? I'll hearken back to the conversation I had with the I'll just call him the attorney from the Trump campaign, although that's a pretty generous description, but we'll just go with that. He's saying, look, we're fighting back. We've got the assets in place. And he said, you can bet there will be a fight on Election Day. And you can also bet that they will not cede power. Kamala Harris, unless it is so blatantly obvious. I'm talking about like a Reagan 1984 obvious. Unless it's so obvious. And even then, who knows? That's how bad this is. So you can expect sparks and ricochets and incoming by the left on Election Day. That's why all of this, I played all of this to let you know that you better be prepared. And I'm saying this based on a totality of observations and also what I would call evidence, without, of course, talking out of school, which I don't think I am. So in the meantime, between now and forever, They've got to do a couple of things because this is so bad. This is looking bad for them all across the country. They've got to demonize, marginalize President Trump and anyone involved. If you're in the chat, if you're listening to this by radio, if you whatever it means, or if you're listening to other programs like this, I'm telling you right now, you're on a list, and you are marked for marginalization at the very least, if not denial of your own humanity, and take that right all the way to the end, okay? But they have to get rid of President Trump. Eric the Tech, if you can do this. And by the way, not only President Trump, but also people in his inner circle. They've got to not make martyrs out of them, but get rid of them after demonizing them. People forget that after he descended that escalator, the Hitler-esque, or the comparisons to Hitler, began almost immediately. Remember Vandalia, Ohio? This was a while back. This is cut 10, Eric the Tech, just so you know. How many people remember this? This is an attempted... Remember when he was on stage? And again, this is some time ago. Pre-assassination attempt, right? But this is a result of the media vitriol against President Trump. But I want to remind people how strong this guy is. And I want to remind people as well, if you would also face or put Kamala up in a situation like that, or even Biden or whoever, I'm sure this reaction would not, you would not see this reaction. So let's go to cut 10. It's 52 seconds. See if you remember this. Here it is.
So, folks, here's what happens. I will call up Carrier, the president, because I have to do it myself. I know it's not. Thank you for the warning. I was ready for him, but it's much easier if the cops do it. Don't we agree? Huh? What a great job. What a great job.
Now folks in the chat, do you remember that? And if so, do you remember that when that happened? If you can answer. In the meantime, Eric the Tech, do you recall that? If you can hear me, or if you can respond.
Yes, I do. I do recall it.
Man, I'll tell you what. I really believe that had that man approached, or that person approached, would have been decked right off the stage by President Trump. It's amazing. Let's play that one more time. I want to read the comments in the chat to see if anyone has any idea of the date that did take place. Because he looks better today. I think he shed a few pounds and such, but he looks a lot better today. So if you don't mind replaying that.
So, folks, here's what happens. I will call up Carrier, the president, because I have to do it myself. I know it's not...
Right, start right. You said 2016, and yeah, you know, he could have been packing. I certainly believe that he was wearing a vest at the time, but nonetheless, that takes some balls. I'm going to tell you right now that takes a lot of balls. And the plan is this: to continue the attacks. Now, he's going to appear this weekend at Madison Square Garden, and again, why I'm. You know, there's that old saying, tell people what you're going to tell them, and then tell the people what you already told them, right? Whatever. But the reason I'm kind of leading up with this evidence, I'm trying to create a, if you were in the jury box, the listeners and viewers to show you what I believe is going to be taking place right after or right around or between now and Election Day. There will be more attempts on his life. I'm especially concerned about the Madison Square Garden event, especially concerned about this. The reason, of course, is all of the vitriolic discussion, descriptions saying, well, there was a pro-Nazi event pre-World War II at Madison Square Garden. And look, all of this talk about President Trump and it being the modern-day Hitler, it's just rife for someone to create some sort of an attack, a disturbance at the very least. But they are attempting to equate this with the Nazi movement back in the 30s. And their actions are despicable, and it's elevating the rhetoric. Of course, you know this, but others might not. Others might not have made the connection. But let's go to video 5. And again, I'm trying to do this in a logical order. Our assassination attempts on Trump continuing. This is video 5. It's a minute, 2 seconds. Let's toss this in there right now. Go ahead and play cut 5.
I guess I'm surprised that they're actually revealing it, but I'm not surprised about the information itself. The Iranians have made no bones about their hostility towards President Trump. They've made no bones about their attempts to assassinate him. The supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, put out a computer-generated graphic video 2 years ago about how exactly the Iranian regime would use its intelligence agents here in the United States to assassinate President Trump on his golf course in West Palm Beach. And guess what, Tara? The view that you see of this robot, this animated robot going onto the golf course, is exactly the same place where the Secret Service discovered that a sniper was trying to kill President Trump not too long ago. So the Iranians were onto that. They knew the weaknesses in the security details around the president. And I am very worried, actually, as we go into the final stretch of the election. I'm very worried for the president.
So the reason I wanted that played, again, there's a lot of discussion about foreign attacks against President Trump, specifically Iran. But that also provides this plausible deniability for our own intelligence services, the security around President Trump. It provides some plausible deniability for them. And I believe when President Trump and others talk about enemies within, that's what they're talking about. Hey, you know, an attack happens. And again, it could very well be from Iran. It could very well be from a foreign actor, but assisted by or perhaps used as deniability by our own intelligence agencies. Don't forget, you've got DOD and the IC community who hate President Trump. Why? Because of the funds, the programs, the dark money, the dark programs, all of these things. You know, again, John Kelly, Mark Milley, Esper, and Mattis, just on the military side. So there is this fertile ground to take him out. Okay. Now on cut 12, this is extremely important and very prescient for this coming rally at Madison Square Gardens. This is Hillary Clinton, and you know her by the trail of dead bodies. Okay, you know her from the connections with the people involved in some of these ritualistic kind of abuses. You know that they've been in politics forever. You know that she's a power-hungry witch, literally. But this is her talking about President Trump. And listen to the rhetoric that she has. And listen to how she's framing his Madison Square Garden appearance and how that is being used to create, and I believe this to be the case, to create assassins out there, to create people with bombs and bullets and against President Trump and ultimately against you and I. But here it is. This is cut 12, and this is Hillary Clinton. It runs for 2 minutes. Here it is.
Is it unhinged? Is she losing it, or does she know exactly what she's doing?
Well, she is unhinged, and she has lost it. So we got definitely the first two. Whether or not she knows exactly what she's doing, I don't know at this point, because the Democrats, they like their pundits to be mostly senile. So, it wouldn't really surprise me if she's, if she's going to be in the home there with Biden. And, you saw her husband pretty much already endorsed President Trump, going out there blaming the deaths of American citizens at the hands of illegal aliens on Kamala Harris and her border policies. So I don't really know what's going on with that family at this point. But, what I do know is that if you and I and Trump and all the other MAGA guys that are going to be at Madison Square Garden this weekend, if all of us are Nazis, then she must be as well. Because just a few years ago, she went to a U2 rally at Madison Square Garden. And best off, her husband in 1992 was nominated for president of the United States in Madison Square Garden at the Democrat National Convention. So going out and saying that, oh, well, this is a Nazi rally, and, the Nazis rallied in Madison Square Garden in 1939. So that's exactly what this must be, too. I mean, look in the mirror, lady. I mean, come on. That's what I'm saying. These people are totally disingenuous. And, we're looking at the same rhetoric from, Liz Cheney, which is essentially Hillary Clinton light. They've rolled out this Nazi attack, all coordinated at the same time. He's a dictator, and this is their last stand, Jack. They don't have anything else. They're out. There's not going to be any real October surprise at this point. This is all they've got. And for whatever reason, they haven't learned. They haven't learned. They think the American people are buying this crap. I don't know if you've seen on X, Jack, over the past few days. But they're saying things like, well, why isn't the media paying more attention? Why aren't they talking about it? Because it's a bunch of bull crap, and the American people know that.
That wasn't exactly the clip that I intended to play. However, that was in response to this unnumbered, Eric the Tech, I'm sorry about that, video. We'll call it video 50.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. Every time possible, I try to throw some confusion your way. I didn't number this. We'll call it video 15. That clip with Jack and Nick Sorter was in response to this 35-second clip, in case you haven't seen this. And this sets up, this would have set up that other clip, but it's important nonetheless, because this is what people are hearing. Just a quick anecdote here. My wife came into my office today, and I had, I've got two different monitors going, actually three, one MSNBC, one CNN, and one RAV. But, she actually turned off the MSNBC, saying, this makes me sick to my stomach. I cannot listen to this. And we had a discussion about the about what people are doing and saying about President Trump, and how they're dehumanizing him. And my friend Jack Posobiec wrote the book Unhumans, great book, talking about the various revolutions throughout history and about what we're going through right now, and about how these people are not human, people like Clinton. But we'll go ahead and play we'll play video 15. It'll be 15 in the show notes at HagmanPI.com, 35 seconds, and that was in response to this. Go ahead.
And, one other thing that you'll see next week, Caitlin, is Trump actually reenacting the Madison Square Garden rally in 1939. I write about this in my book. President Franklin Roosevelt was appalled that neo-Nazis, fascists in America were lining up to essentially pledge their support for the kind of government that they were seeing in Germany. So I don't think we can ignore.
So, again, watching that, listening to that, and you might recall this from your philosophy course in college or even discussion in high school. If you can go back and kill baby Hitler or Hitler before he came to power, would you do so? That's the mentality they're pushing out there. Now, again, here we are 10 days away from Election Day. And if he would win, then we've got a four-year period of this continuing. So there is the animus. But let's also, one other, again, you know, I don't listen to him, but many others do. Keith Olbermann, I don't know how many people saw this, but this is important. You know, Elon Musk, of course, having taken control over X, people don't like the right being able to express their opinion. You know, it's the left who's stifling thought, stifling opinion, attempting to control what you think and what you say. And if they don't like what you say, they'll sue you. Believe me, I know. If they don't like what you say, they'll deplatform you from life, or be openly hostile to you. They'll make your life miserable. That's what they're doing. This is Keith Olbermann. This is Cut 8. Listen to his answer to the Trump movement, but specifically Elon Musk, who is bolstering President Trump. This is important. This is part of the equation. This is Clip 8.
In a bulletin edition of the Friday Countdown podcast, it is absolutely essential for the United States government to immediately sever all connections to Elon Musk and his technological operations, if need be, to seize his assets, including SpaceX, Starlink, and Twitter X, and if need be, detain him, deport him, or take other actions against him. After the Wall Street Journal broke an extraordinary story on Thursday night, to quote it, Elon Musk, the world's richest man and a linchpin of U.S. space efforts, has been in regular contact with Russian President Vladimir Putin since late 2022. The discussions, confirmed by several current and former U.S., European, and Russian officials, touch on personal topics, business, and geopolitical tensions. The journal goes on to report that favors have been asked for the Chinese dictator, that Starlink not be used over Taiwan, related from the Chinese dictator in some way to Putin and on to Musk, and that Musk's contact has continued with Putin into this year. Also, you will note the timeline here suggests that Musk only bought Twitter X after his conversations with Putin began, and that there were threats made against Musk's businesses and implicitly against Musk by the Russians. The full details in a startling bulletin edition of the Countdown Friday podcast, now live wherever you podcast.
Tell me again who's attempting to incarcerate the political enemies of others. It's certainly not President Trump. We saw that in his 4 years after the chance of lock her up. Remember those? She's not locked up. He never went after his political enemies. But could he do it now? I suspect he could.
China is banning Starlink. How can they do that?
I am not exactly 100% sure. And if anyone in the chat has clarification on that, I started to look into that, and I didn't have enough time, frankly. So can they do that? I suppose they could. How do they do that? I don't know. But certainly China wants their own ecosystem, right, Eric? I mean, it's.
Well, China wants everything.
Yeah, true. And China is afraid of a Trump presidency. Remember, it was China that enriched the Bidens. It was China that enriched Adam Schiff. It was China that enriched Swalwell. China enriched, basically, out of the 535 members of our legislature, I'm sure the majority have been enriched by China. So, yeah. Which brings me to the point where if you think China, now again, that's Keith Olbermann. We're getting to that point. We're getting to that point now where we can kind of turn the focus a little bit on now what will happen. I believe what will happen. And again,
Olbermann's like he gives me like 60s radio vibes.
Oh, and that guy is one. We were talking about 60s, or we were talking about the old analog radio sound. We're going to take care of the sound on this end here. It's partly my fault, I guess, but we'll have a new sound microphone powered. We don't have enough power for what we have here. So anyway, thank you for bearing with me. Hey, before I go any further, I want to tell you, we've partnered with GundryMD to share this information with you. Would you believe me? Again, if I mentioned about olive oil, if I told you that you've got one of the healthiest foods on the planet in your pantry, your medicine cabinet, it's olive oil. Folks, go to getoliveone.com/Hagmann. It's not some, again, olive oil is not a trendy superfood. You're probably cooking with it. It's out there. You know, you can use this to help yourself look and feel better. For example, olive oil is a natural way to help you achieve more youthful appearance. Besides helping you look younger on the outside, it's a great way for your insides. It's a great tool for your insides, actually. And Dr. Stephen Gundry, this famous cardiothoracic surgeon, he's a nutrition expert as well, health advocate. You should get as much high-quality olive oil into your diet, dietary routine, daily routine as possible. And whether it's taking a short a shot of it daily or keeping a bottle just in your medicine cabinet, on your counter, in your pantry, whatever, do so. But what kind of olive oil is best? I had that issue. And look, any olive oil can give you some benefits, but if you're looking to get the best results, it matters a lot which one you pick. And the olive oil industry is huge. I've seen so many different types, it's hard to keep up. You can tell, of course, if you go shopping by the number of brands you see on the grocery store shelves. But they're not all made the same or with the consumer in mind, and many brands may cut corners. So when Dr. Gundry came to this realization, he was appalled. Some olive oils are so powerful, though, it may only take a few tablespoons a week to see incredible health benefits. But how can I tell the difference? How can I tell between an olive oil, for example, that can be a health booster, and which one isn't up to par? Well, Dr. Gundry has decided to take a stand, release his personal research and findings. You see a video right there. The video has gone viral since its release, and it's important for you to see so you can start benefiting immediately. You can watch the video right now by going to getoliveone.com/Hagmann, two ends on Hagmann, and the number is the number one, getoliveone.com/Hagmann, or just click in the description box below, navigate to where it's at, you'll see it, getoliveone.com/Hagmann, and watch the video. And I'll tell you what, people have shared their results with him, and the results have been fantastic. So do what he does, and you'll thank me later. All right, but getting back to the subject matter at hand, and I've got to tell you, it's very disconcerting when you're talking about a man. I'm not going to deify, obviously, President Trump, but it should tell you a lot about how far we have devolved into this cesspool of demonic. Into the demonic realm. You know, I was trying to think of a way to personalize this a little bit. And I saw a thread on X that I thought, wow, somebody took the time and put together the pre-political Donald Trump. And I'm going to see if the folks remember this. This is kind of a palate cleanser before we get into the real bad things, I suppose. Take a look at this. Eric the Tech, this is Twitter thread, X thread, historical timeline. This is right after the unmarked video for your...
we'll make that 16.
We'll call this page, I don't know. We'll call it 16. Why not? Go ahead and show this, and I can talk through this. I don't think there's any videos. There's pictures. This is kind of important for you folks to take a look at. You pop it on the screen anytime. There's no video in there. So this post is by, what is that, Fuzzy Chimp and Donald Adolf Hitler.
Fuzzy chimp.
Yeah, thank you. I got a fuzzy chimp over here.
Hey now.
So take a look at this. 1994. He's obviously a racist, right? Well, that didn't stick. He appeared on what was the name of that show? Will Smith. I don't know, but there he is in 1994. And go ahead and scroll down as well, and you can see throughout the years the difference. And go down to the next one. I think this is a series of images. You may have to open the thread, actual thread. But this is really good.
I can't because I'm not logged in.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have to go through all of them. But, folks, the link will be up there. And you can see him throughout the years. This humanizes the man they call Hitler. And it's important for you to take a look at, I think. Because when you look at this, think about this. This can happen to you as well, even if you're not running for public office. Even if you're just by being outspoken, this can happen to you. So where are we at?
I want to say this, too.
Well, go ahead.
I'm a golfer. I love golf. Trump loves golf. Yep. One of his good friends is his caddy, and his caddy is black.
Yes. So, I mean, look, the racist label didn't stick. The rapist label didn't stick, even with the, I don't want to say conviction, but even with the judgment by E. Jean Carroll. And look now, they're coming out with additional charges. Hey, back in the 90s, he did this. He groped me in front of Harvey or in front of Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, come on. You didn't speak out then. You didn't speak out in 2016. You didn't speak out in 2020. You haven't spoken out. But now, suddenly, you speak out. And, of course, you know, we're supposed to believe you in the timing. Yeah, okay. No, not at all. So there's that. But going back to, and I want to throw that as like I said, as a palate cleanser, but we left off with the Chinese, of course, Oberman making some claims about foreign influence involving and revolving around Elon Musk, attempting to tarnish the reputation of President Trump, right? And the, you know, make new claims against President Trump. Well, what have the Chinese been doing? This is cut seven. In case you haven't heard this, this is part, and I believe this to be true, this is part of the current plan by our own intelligence communities, and this is an important distinction, to get as much detail of President Trump's movements, internal information, and policy ahead of the day of the election. That's what I believe happened here. And the title of this is Chinese Hackers Target Trump and Vance Their Phones. Verizon's working with the FBI. Oh, great. That makes me feel good. This is cut seven. It's a minute 53.
Great. Just breaking moments ago, Chinese hackers reportedly targeting phones used by former President Trump and his running mate, Senator J.D. Vance. Chief Justice Correspondent David Spunt joins us now from Washington. Hi, David.
Hey, Martha. Good afternoon. The FBI and DOJ officially declining to comment on the New York Times reporting, but the hack reportedly was aimed at both the phones of former President Trump and Senator J.D. Vance, also going to Democrats on Capitol Hill and perhaps some inside the Kamala Harris campaign. The Times is reporting it's unclear whether hackers could obtain any data from these phones, but Chinese hackers used a sophisticated penetration of telecom systems, specifically Verizon phone systems, and the Trump campaign was notified earlier this week. The FBI, in a joint statement with sister agency CISA, who monitors cyber hacking, said both agencies are aware of Chinese hacking operations, but did not specifically mention the Trump campaign. These hackers have been on the front lines when it comes to trying to hack operations coming into the election. The DOJ frequently announces hacking charges with respect to China. To recap, it's unclear if hackers obtained anything from Vance's and Trump's phone. Trump's phone. But we did get a statement from Verizon within the last 10 minutes or so that says Verizon is cooperating with the FBI and other agencies. Meanwhile, the Trump campaign is saying, quote, this is a continuation of election interference by Kamala Harris and Democrats who will stop at nothing, including emboldening China and Iran, attacking critical American infrastructure to prevent President Trump from returning to the White House. Their dangerous and violent rhetoric has given permission to those who wish to harm President Trump. So not much we know right now other than the fact that the FBI is working with Verizon and there is some sort of hack involving this campaign. Martha?
Okay, that's the obvious. The not so obvious is the fact that once they have certain information, they're also able to pinpoint the precise location of President Trump and J.D. Vance. Okay, that is extremely important for people to understand, because the attempts right now to kill President Trump, to neutralize the movement, are ongoing and they're increasing. They're absolutely increasing. Now, I was able to touch base with Jack Posobiec, and he was with President Trump. And this is cut six. This, I got a call last night, and hey, President Trump endorsed Jack's book, Bulletproof, and said, hey, people need to understand what's in here, read it, buy it, whatever. So this is kind of like, you guys knew about this before just about anyone else. So great job, Jack Posobiec, but go ahead and hit 17 seconds. This is video six.
He's written a fantastic book, everybody. Jack is a great guy. He's written a fantastic book. Everybody's talking about it. Go get it. And he's been my friend right from the beginning of this whole beautiful event. And we're going to turn it around and make our country great again.
Thank Amen.
You. Good luck.
Good luck, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Trust me when I tell you that President Trump knows the threat to him. All right, so where's this all leading? Where in the hell is this all leading? One more video as an exhibit to add to really kind of close out this part and to then get into where this is all going and where I suspect we're going to be. And I was able to get with or speak with Alex Jones a little bit about his thoughts beyond what you hear on his show. But before that, this is cut 13. We now have a face of the revolution of the Dems. This is important. And on the other side, I'll tell you why this is cut 13.
Harris, Pelosi, Biden, they are stooges, right? They are titular leaders, but behind them are the brains, and I hate to say it, but this seems to be one of the brains, who are hooking up this revolutionary theory that's going to destroy us. Because in a revolution, the first thing you have to do is educate the citizens in your narrative. Their narrative is America is racist. So that's what they've got to educate us or our children. And Charlie, if I may read some standards that have been Please. Put out for first graders. You might not, I don't understand all these words. It says first graders must identify examples of ethnicity, equality, liberation, and systems of power, and use these examples to construct meanings for those terms. Now, these are fifth graders. I and your audience no doubt find this jargon impenetrable, which, of course, is its intention. But each one of these words or terms points in the destruction of the overthrow of the American way of life. This is obviously has corrupted Minnesota and is corrupting to various degrees of speed other states around the country. So this election is not about two people who have different policy ideas within the same regime. This election is about representatives of two different regimes.
Sorry about that. You might think, well, where did that come from? That seemed like out of left field. It's really not. Remember, President Trump had talked about the Department of Education, whereas the left, they want to indoctrinate your children. This goes to the bigger picture. Again, another spoke on the wheel. This goes to the bigger picture of indoctrination of our children, whether they're in first grade, eighth grade, high school, or college. This is a process. And the left has said, look, you are not going to do this. You're not going to take away the Department of Education. And they are afraid that the indoctrination process, if President Trump will be elected, is elected and installed or inaugurated, then the interruption will be fatal to the communist slash demonic movement. This is all what's at stake. Now, in the closing part of this, I don't think I could have said this any better or laid this out any better than, again, my friend Alex Jones. And I want, I really, if you've seen this already, think about this in the context of everything you heard. And we haven't even touched upon the other enemy within, and that's the illegal invaders in this country. We haven't even touched on that. But take a listen and watch Alex talk about what the left is doing, the unrest that is coming, the martial law, you know, with that DOD directive, now able to use, of course, lethal force on Americans, never before in history, and that's Directive 5240.01. Specifically, Section 3.382C within that document. You can search it yourself, but you can see they, and many people argue saying, well, that was a directive that existed for a long time. Yes, but they modified the document to include lethal force against Americans. So when, what I've been leading up to is you have this infrastructure that has been being built for decades, decades, even as the better part, if not more than a century in this country by the communist left. Don't forget Joe McCarthy talking about the communist infiltration into the State Department and being mocked for it. You had movies mocking McCarthy. It was just incredible. Some of that mocking you saw perhaps in the original Manchurian Candidate, where they made him out, his character out to be somewhat of a doofus, you know, selecting numbers out of the air. But it's happening. So let's take a look. And let's see what Alex Jones has to say. Because again, rather than bring him on, take away from his family time, just watch this. And this will give you a good idea as to what we can expect, really, anytime now. This is unnamed. This will be video, what, 18? I'll just throw a number on there. Video 50. Eric the Tech, I'm sorry about that. This is the last video in the show notes it's at the bottom. There it is. Go ahead.
And a bunch of globalist generals and their surrogates everywhere saying Trump is planning mass arrest, not just of the globalist, not just of the deep staters, but that Trump is going to use the military on the American people. Now, there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes programming there and also public preparation. Remember earlier this year, Senator Blumenthal, who quarterbacks a lot of deep state operations, and particularly against us and Trump, he runs the operation against us on record with the CIA and FBI. It's come out in court and Congress. Introduced a bill that's sitting there, and they said so that when he's president-elect in 19 days. That's what the numbers are showing even clearer now. That they will trigger Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and all these Islamic hordes that are allied with the left to engage in massive civil unrest, and that then Congress has a bill introduced, which is totally unconstitutional and is a coup against the executive branch and executive powers under the federalist system, to strip the president of the power to call out the military domestically. And then that's now what Kamala and her surrogates are parroting everywhere, and I have clips of that coming up. Simultaneously, in actual policy through executive orders of Biden, 2 weeks ago, we've talked a lot about this, it hasn't gotten the attention it needed, DOD directive expands domestic military authority to include lethal force during civil unrest. Here's DOD Directive 524001. I'll talk more about that today. So while they're loading the military gun and putting it in American people's head.
Can you pause that
and
take that down for a second? Don't lose that spot. Just go ahead. One thing that he did not mention, but I'll mention, in my conversation with this individual that I referenced earlier, the flip side to this is Kamala wins scenario. Gaming this out, Kamala wins, and there is Antifa, BLM, and other assets, including the illegal invaders, causing problems here in the U.S. And I'm talking about burning cities down, everything you've seen. Think of the Summer of Love on times 10, and blaming that on the disgruntled, they stole the election. Trump supporters, the backers of America First. That's so no matter what happens, no matter who is elected, and for example, if President Trump, let's say the race is close, President Trump is declared the winner, all hell is going to break loose. If Kamala Harris is declared the winner, all hell is going to break loose. It's really going to be the same element, but two different scenarios. You see where this is going? Go ahead and continue with this.
And creating cover stories, the military is going to have to crush the right-wing terrorists that are supposedly hiding under every table or in every bush and in every closet. They are separately accusing Trump of everything that they are preparing to do. And we've seen Biden and Kamala and
froze up. I'm not sure.
That was it. That was the last of it.
Okay. There's one below that. One video at the very bottom. In fact, go to, I'm sorry. There should be a video that's longer than that. It might be a Twitter video. Was that the very bottom one?
No, that was the middle one.
Okay. Go to the very bottom one. I'm sorry. Because the very bottom one expands upon this, and I think it's very important for people to really look at this in the context, too, of that directive. Because we really didn't talk about that directive too much. But the essence of what Alex is saying here is important. And again, having conversed, yeah, this is planned. So if President Trump is declared the winner, all hell is going to break loose by Antifa, by BLM, at the direction of the very same people who will send them out if Harris is declared the winner. But that will be blamed on MAGA. And you might think, well, no crap, right? But the consequence, really, of both, if President Trump is in office, the people crafting these directives are handcuffing him. They will not allow President Trump to stop the violence. And if Harris is in office, heaven forbid, they will open up the spigots and go after not the rioters, kind of like January 6th. You don't see any Antifa-related people in prison. They're going to go after the America First or MAGA population. So if that video is ready, go ahead and pop that up.
An arm to pull back from the brink of destruction. But in the last 48 hours, I have seen them go back into gear, accelerating the preparation for crisis mode to try to scare us into submission. New viral releases, new fake vaccines, massive hype about right-wingers preparing false flag terror attacks. We're seeing the fake reports that militias were about to kill everybody in North Carolina and that the military stopped them. They now admit that's a fake report. We've got other fake reports of white supremacists showing up at a Trump boat parade. And of course, they were leftist dressed up like that and got caught. We're going to see a lot more of that. But now they've had surrogates in the last 48 hours. I guess this kicked off Monday, so it's more than 48 hours now, almost 3 days. And we've seen Biden and Kamala and a bunch of globalist generals and their surrogates everywhere saying Trump is planning mass arrest, not just of the globalist, not just of the deep staters, but that Trump is going to use the military on the American people. Now, there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes programming there and also public preparation. Remember earlier this year, Senator Blumenthal, who quarterbacks a lot of deep state operations, and particularly against us and Trump, he runs the operation against us on record with the CIA and FBI. It's come out in court and Congress. Introduced a bill that's sitting there, and they said so that when he's president-elect in 19 days, that's what the numbers are showing even clearer now, that they will trigger Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and all these Islamic hordes that are allied with the left to engage in massive civil unrest, and that then Congress has a bill introduced, which is totally unconstitutional and is a coup against the executive branch and executive powers under the federalist system to strip the president of the power to call out the military domestically. And then that's now what Kamala and her surrogates are parroting everywhere. And I have clips of that coming up. Simultaneously, in actual policy through executive orders of Biden, 2 weeks ago, we've talked a lot about this. It hasn't gotten the attention it needed. DOD directive expands domestic military authority to include lethal force during civil unrest. Here's DOD directive 524001. I'll talk more about that today. So while they're loading the military gun and putting it to the American people's head and creating cover stories, the military's going to have to crush the right-wing terrorists that are supposedly hiding under every table or in every bush and in every closet. They are separately accusing Trump of everything that they are preparing to do. Now, obviously, most of the military are good men and women. The leadership at the top is almost completely controlled, as General Flynn has exposed, and as evidence all around us is documented. But they'll need cover stories for this. So the admitted plan is, when President Trump is president-elect, trigger civil unrest around the country, blaming Trump. And they'll use some type of event where there's not video of it, where the police shoot a black person, in some cases wrongly, but in most cases, they're in the right. And Black Lives Matter and the Democrats a few days ago, I've got the articles, I left them in the printer, bring them in to me, please, tried to say that a black lady that got shot in an apartment building was shot by a white cop, was completely innocent, until they released the body cam footage. He let her stab him in the face and chest 3 times with a butcher knife The police have been so conditioned to not want to go to prison via a Soros prosecutor, they defend themselves, that the cop let her stab him with a 10-inch butcher knife at least three times before he shot her. You see in the footage, the blood dripping all over him, and then we have photos of the police officer. That's coming up. So they're looking for events like this to be the trigger, and it's not a real war between black people and white people. It is the globalists, the establishment, that's robbing and ruling over us, that's dissolved our borders, created massive inflation, started all these wars, promoting pedophilia. They need this to be the cover. For some type of operation like this. And of course, first they said it was a white cop. It's an Asian cop. She tried to stab him in the eye. Did stab him in the eye. Shock video. Woman attacking cop with knife. Shot dead. And again, before the footage was released, the headlines were white cop shoots unarmed black woman. So they'll
You can stop it right there. That's going to be part of the propaganda campaign. I let that run into that that one incident. I watched that right after it happened, right after they released the body cam footage. But think about images like that to sway it as propaganda. Okay, the white cop shoots black woman. That headline, the incitement that would cause. Now combine that. Again, that's a local issue that will inflame the local BLM Antifa people that will be used as a weapon. We have seen this in the past, but this is all part of the larger program. They are operating on multiple levels. And as Alex opened up with, you're looking at, regardless of the situation, and again, I'm really forcing this and really wanting to repeat myself on this. I think it's that important. Regardless of who is declared the winner, violence will happen. And you've got right now, and I had taken some notes.
I want to say one thing. BLM's been very quiet the last 3 3/4 years.
Now, why, Eric the Tech, you want to opine, and people in the chat, you want to opine as to why that is? Is it things going their way? I mean, is that what it is? Because they really have no reason to be called out and to create mayhem and damage property? I get very concerned when a known enemy that's measurable by number and even by identity, in a lot of cases, they go silent. What are they doing? So, Eric the Tech, do you have any ideas as to why they've been so quiet?
Because it's just a weaponized group.
There it is. It's not time yet, but it's coming. And all the arms that have been stashed around the country, oh, they're available to the illegals, or will be, as well as BLM and Antifa. You know Holder. I saw somebody in the chat mentioning Eric Holder. You know that he knows where those arms are, as do Obama, as do many of the others. Now, also, lastly, okay, so the big picture is, regardless of what happens, once a winner is declared, the activation of these cells already in the country is going to take place. And I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But I think it's important for me. I think it's important enough throughout this these broadcasts to really say prepare and to watch. To watch the aggressiveness of those people around you. I know in my home, I have two Trump yard signs, okay? And no one, or the person on my right and the person on my left, there were no yard signs. So I put up two yard signs. This is a while back. And the guy on the left put up two Harris Waltz signs. And I figure, okay, that's fine. I mean, I know he's a flaming liberal. And then just yesterday, I see the Harris Waltz signs to the person on my right. Eric Thecke, you know who I'm talking about, right? So I'm thinking, wow, you know, surrounded by, but all down, all in my area, you've got Trump walls, Trump, Trump walls, Trump, 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 and then walls. But you didn't see that in 2020. I didn't see that. I saw a little bit of that in 2016, where you had dueling the blatant opposition, but I didn't see it in 2020. Now you're seeing it. And I think that speaks volumes, even though it's anecdotal at best. You know that the people who are in your midst have made up their mind, they've taken a stand, and they're not going to back down. Now, that doesn't mean that there's going to be any problems, but in some areas there will be. But the ideological divide is so great. I mean, Owen Schroyer, if you saw that, and we won't play that, but if you saw Owen Schroyer attending this pro-infanticide rally, oh my goodness. And a woman came with Hail Satan sign. That's what this is all about. This is good versus evil. Folks, I just want to prepare you. And again, I really hope that I'm wrong. And folks in the chat, look, you might think I'm absolutely off, you know, just, well, I just fell off a coconut tree. No, you might think that that I'm overstating or even stating the obvious.
The lime and the coconut.
Yeah. I think, didn't you have a chorus or two of that when that video of her came out? Would you just fall out of a coconut tree? And, well, folks, if you don't know what we're referring to, there's a video out there of Kamala Harris. You know, the, what do we call her? Cackling, the commie cackling.
Blackface Kamala. See.
the Indian now, communist cackles, McKnee pads, Harris. But anyway, one thing, they're already fixing the steel. If you didn't watch this, I wanted to insert this at the beginning of the program, but I couldn't because the evening edition of War Room was still going on, and I didn't want to cause Eric any headaches. But I don't know, Eric the Tech, if you got what I sent you.
I did. This, do you want it queued up at the beginning or where you stopped it?
Well, folks, do you want to see this from the beginning? The beginning talks about the status of the voter fraud. And then, let's see, wherever I said to start, like, I don't know how many minutes in, 10 minutes in, talks about the general disposition of things. Now, if you can start queue it up to where I be because of the time, if you can queue it up to where I left it, that would be great. But this, well,
put the lime in the coconut.
Yeah, I know. I think people. I'll tell you what. We'll start from the beginning after the intro. I do believe people need to know what's taking place, for example, in Maricopa County, and what the left, even though the Republicans, Bill Gates, for example, who's suffering from PTSD from the last election, right? Maricopa County, Bill Gates, not that Bill Gates, the Bill Gates down in Maricopa County, is saying, I had to, oh my goodness, you know, I had to seek therapy, and I have PTSD from the last election. They're doing the same thing again in Maricopa County. We never fixed 2020. We never fixed 2022. So, yeah, let's play it after the intro at any point in time. Natalie Winters hit it out of the park. This kind of is going back a little bit in our program, but I think it's instructive, and I think it's worth watching. So stick with me until the end here, and let's play a few minutes of her intro. Right through Bill Gates, his statement. And you talk about a pussy. You talk about a bed of mail. Now, this, keep in mind, this is a Republican now. Go ahead and watch. Go ahead and cue that up or play that.
Shows something, all right. It's Friday, October 25th in the year of our Lord, 2024. You are here in the War Room with Natalie G. Winters coming at you live from Palm Beach. Let's make something very clear. We are not just heading towards an election on November 5th. No, no, no. We are heading towards the final battle of an assault of legal, economic, political, psychological, spiritual, and dare I say, kinetic warfare. The culmination of all of that into ballot warfare. And that cold open, what you just witnessed in that montage, is a prime example of what we are up against. You know, whether it's the fact that thousands of ballots in the conveniently swing state of Pennsylvania have been, I guess, uncovered to be part of a fraudulent registration operation, or the fact that right now, as we speak, we already know that fraudulent ballots cast in Colorado will be counted as the sum total of the 2024 election. Or the fact that paid Democratic operatives are now tampering with ballot boxes, right? You know, I know we're told by people like Martha Raddatz and the ruling class and the mainstream media that we need to be okay with a handful of illegal invaders who are part of criminal gangs. We need to just be okay with a handful of them, right? That's what it means to be an American nowadays. Well, I guess we should also just be okay with, right, a handful of fraud, too. Except in this case, it's not just a handful. It's probably multiple handfuls per paid Democratic operative. And the real tell in all of those incidences that I just played for you, when you really try to get the information about who the ballots benefited, the operatives who were engaged in the campaign work to turn out those fraudulent registrations, well, then suddenly the election officials who've never missed an opportunity to go on any mainstream media network and talk about any story ever, sort of like Anthony Fauci, well, they're suddenly nowhere to be found. They suddenly plead the fifth, right? It's quite interesting. And by the way, just to note, you know, the like I said, the paid Democratic operative that was caught tampering with a ballot drop box in Montana. You know, bro, you can't play the election integrity card that you guys were worried about scoping all that out, because I'm pretty sure you jailed and imprisoned thousands of MAGA supporters for sharing that very same concern. But when they do it, they end up in prison. When you do it, I guess nothing happens, right? You know, for all the consternation and meltdown that we're seeing in the media right now about, what is it, the 100,000th accuser against President Trump saying that he, you know, oh, unjustly groped me or touched me. Maybe you guys should care a little bit more about ballot boxes and ballots being touched unjustly and illegally and, frankly, being groped by paid Democratic operatives. But I guess you don't care, because it probably helps your turnout at the end of the day. Right, where's the vanguard of democracy? Joy Reid, Morning Mika, I'm paging all of you guys. Or maybe you guys are too busy celebrating or probably orchestrating the fact that a judge just today in Virginia decided, catch this, that 1,500 declared non-citizens need to be re-enfranchised because they think that a lawsuit blocking non-citizens from voting at the urging and the request of the Biden-Harris regime, well, that's just not democratic. Quite an interesting application of the term democracy. And here's where the story gets really interesting, because in the same exact news cycle that those three clips I just played for you, do you know what Reuters thinks is the top concern, of course, speaking as the mouthpiece for the mainstream media? Well, that U.S. election experts worry about Republican poll watchers in swing states. It's quite an interesting fear to have. They're petrified, particularly of Republican poll watchers. With the buried lead there being that the years of lawfare that they perpetrated against you guys, against MAGA, against Stephen K. Bannon, against Peter Navarro, against Donald Trump, I'm looking at you, Jack Smith, well, that was to scare you guys from wanting to work as poll watchers and election watchers. But guess what? We have a little something called patriotism on our side, so your fear-mongering attacks aren't going to work on us. And then, of course, you have The Atlantic chiming in with more election fear porn, because, of course, the everyday warfare of voting in America election officials are under siege. That was the strap line for that article. I guess they have a new headline up now, too. Here's the thing, though, guys. If you weren't engaged, we'll use the word that President Trump uses, in skullduggery, as paid Soros operatives often are in terms of stealing the election, you wouldn't have to run cover for yourselves so much. You wouldn't have to engage in industrial-grade psyops and information warfare campaigns against the American people to make us think that we should actually trust you. Right? You sort of lost our trust when you made trust but verify something that ended up, if you engaged in the verify part of that action, you ended up in prison. Let's roll this supercut of a wonderful interview that Bill Gates, now I'm not talking about that Bill Gates, although this one's equally awful, down in Maricopa County, who has probably one of the most abysmal track records on running elections. But now, pay very close attention. CNN is trying to rehab his image ahead of the election, sort of in concert with a lot of these Soros, Zuckerberg-esque funded left-wing NGO election activist groups who are actively coordinating behind the scenes to try to dupe you, the American people, into believing all the lies that are told to you by election officials. Let's roll it.
You're a person who goes to church.
Pause that just for a second. I just want to say this, knowing what I know. Steve Bannon, when he comes back, he's coming back hot. And I mean hot. Trust me when I tell you, he's coming back hot. And he's not... I don't even know how to describe his return to the airwaves. But there are a lot of people who are afraid of Bannon's return. That's number one. Number two, what you just heard was kind of us going back to the beginning of this episode to really recap the granular attacks that the left has just unleashed. When you have a weak candidate, when you have a hollow vessel, one that you can't even control as a puppet because of intellectual deficiencies, this is what they have to do. That's why, look, I volunteered to be a poll watcher. I hope some of you in the chat and watching and viewing this, I hope you do as well. It's not that difficult. You just have to stand up and learn to say no. Or no, you're not going to board up the window or block the windows. No, you're not going to tell me where to stand. I mean, within reason, of course. And you have at the ready remedies available to you. And it could very well be where I might not have a show that night. I doubt it, but, you know, they could have me arrested or perhaps just escort me out. I don't know. But I'm not backing down. Nor should you, because what's at stake? I guess we can, we don't have to play any more video, but what's at stake right now is really the future of our children, our grandchildren. Maybe you don't care, but it's the future of our country. This is more than an election. This is a mandate. This is something that we have to make the point that we're not going to put up with this crap. We're sick of these HHS directives by a mentally ill transgender cross-dressing moron, Rachel Levine, Richard Dickless Levine. That's over. We're tired. We're sick and tired beyond anything. We're done with entertaining mental illness in society and against our children. We're done with the mutilation of our children. We're absolutely over all of this. No more. We don't want to hear from Budweiser and their DEI crap and their tranny stuff. Enough with the crosswalks with the BLM. Enough with the taking a knee to George Floyd. Enough with all of that. We're done. You have to pick a side. And I have very little patience with people who, A, are saying, no, I'm not of the world, so I'm not going to pick a side. You're a coward. But to those of you who are saying, you know what? I am going to stand up for what is right, for what is moral, for what is godly. I have a responsibility to do so. God bless each and every one of you taking that position. The others, go ahead and sit it out. We'll fight for you. Or on your behalf, I guess. How dare you? How dare you call yourself a Christian and either vote for Harris or vote for the left or not vote at all? What the hell's wrong with you? This is war. This is war in the United States. And we better, folks, you better get prepared because it's going to get super ugly in a matter of, in less than 2 weeks. It's going to get really ugly. And if all the stops are pulled out, And let's just say President Trump is declared the victor. It's still not over, because obviously you have a component within the Congress who want to cite the Insurrection Act and not certify the vote as well. But there's a lot of pain that they intend to inflict between now and the day of inauguration. It doesn't matter who wins. But if Harris wins, I can guarantee you, if the left wins, I guarantee you the patriots, especially if it's what we're seeing here with the fraudulent crap that's going on, if we don't stand up and stop this, a la the Battle of Athens, 1946, when it happens, then we own it. It's our fault. I'm not inciting violence here. I'm saying we have to do what's right and what's moral, and we cannot back down. Otherwise, you will be living in chains. Your children, you will be offering your children to live in chains or worse. And if you think the invasion of our country was bad over the last 4 years, You haven't seen anything yet. In the final minute I have, folks, look, we're doing what we can to make upgrades as we go along. We appreciate your patience. I thank you for that. We have a lot of things going on behind the scenes. Sheriff, by the way, Sheriff Mack is going to be with me next week. Thank you, Eric the Tech, for that. And have a litany of all sorts of guests in the run up to the election. But I just want to say this. You better be prepared physically, practically, emotionally, and spiritually. Because what's coming, ladies and gentlemen, is something that I don't think we've ever seen. Certainly not in our lifetimes. But certainly not in modern history. Fight. Fight. Fight.